addictions on the insignificant. To give all living entities detachment from fruitive activity by realizing you. You have expanded these material worlds by your energy. Purport. Everyone, therefore, whether he desires material enjoyment, liberation, or the transcendental loving service of the Lord, should engage himself offering obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, because the Lord can award everything his desired benediction. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord affirms, Yayata mam papadyante. Anyone who desires to be a successful enjoyer in this material world is awarded that benediction by the Lord. Anyone who wants to be liberated from the entanglement of the material world is given liberation by the Lord. And anyone who desires to constantly engage in this service in full Krishna consciousness is awarded this benediction by the Lord. For material enjoyment, he has prescribed so many ritualistic sacrificial performances in the Vedas, and thus people may take advantage of these instructions and enjoy material life on the higher planets or in a noble, aristocratic family. These processes are mentioned in the Vedas, and one can take advantage of them. It is similar with those who want to be liberated from this material world. Unless one is disgusted with the enjoyment of this material world, he cannot aspire for liberation. Liberation is for one who is disgusted with material enjoyment. Vedanta Sutra says, therefore, atato brahma jigyasa. Those who have given up the attempt to be happy in this material world can inquire about the absolute truth. For those who want to know the absolute truth, the Vedanta Sutra is available, as is Srimad Bhagavatam, the actual explanation of Vedanta Sutra. Since Bhagavad Gita is also Vedanta Sutra, by understanding Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedanta Sutra, or Bhagavad Gita, one can obtain real knowledge. When one obtains real knowledge, he becomes theoretically one with the Supreme. And when he actually begins the service of Brahman, or Krishna consciousness, he is not only liberated, but situated in his spiritual life. Similarly, for those who want to lord it over material nature, there are so many departments of material enjoyment. Material knowledge and material science are available, and the Lord provides for persons who want to enjoy them. The conclusion is that one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for any benediction. The word kama, varsham, is very significant, for it indicates that he satisfies the desires of anyone who approaches him. But one who sincerely loves Krishna and yet wants material enjoyment is in perplexity. Krishna, being very kind toward him, gives him an opportunity to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, and so he gradually forgets the hallucination. Sukadeva Goswami, near the beginning of his instructions to Parikshit, says, akamo sarakamo va moksha kama udharadi tivena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. He's recognizing, although he's speaking just to Parikshit, Parikshit is his target audience. Parikshit is already liberated. He's already an associate of the Supreme Lord, devotee, Parshada. He doesn't have to be brought up in a gradual path of purification, elevation. For Parikshit, Shukadev could have immediately gone to Krishna's Leela. But he wasn't speaking only for the benefit of Parikshit. This Bhagavatam has been spoken before. This is not the only and first time that Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by anybody. Even after Krishna's disappearance, there was one major speaking of it. When Krishna, after Krishna had left this world, he asked Uddhava, he asked Uddhava to go to Badrinath and send his regards to the sages there, because Krishna had, in his 125 years on the earth, he had visited many devotees in many different places. He had left, even when he was living in Dwarka, he left there to go to Hastinapur. He went to Mithila. He went to different places and visited his devotees. But he never went to Badrinath. Even though Lord Narayan are living there, Narada Muni is there, and many sages are attending them, he did not give them his association. So, feeling a little sorry for that, he asked Uddhava to go. Uddhava was dispatched. Arjun was asked by Krishna to take care of his queens. Did Krishna ask him or her? I don't know. Anyway, Arjun had the responsibility to convey the queens of Krishna after Krishna's disappearance safely to Mathura. He failed in the task. The queens were kidnapped, but somehow they eventually ended up. They were saved and came to Mathura. And Parikshit took charge of them. This we find in the Skanda Purana. We read in the Vaishnava Kanda of the Skanda Purana how Parikshit, with the 16,000 queens of Krishna, came to Mathura and met Vajranaba. I'm sorry, no, the queens were in Mathura under the care of Vajranaba, and Parikshit came from Hastinapur to visit once. They were under the care of Vajranaba, the queens. Vajranaba, we may have read this, this is Bhagavat Mahatmya from the Skanda Purana. Vajranaba was in perplexity because he had been appointed by Yudhishthira to assume the throne of Mathura, Krishna's great-grandson, Vajranaba. But the whole district was practically empty. There was practically no population. When Krishna left Mathura to go to Dwarka, he took the entire city with him, the whole population of the city. There were only a few Brahmins left, some monkeys, a few aborigines. And the countryside was also empty after Krishna's disappearance. So Vajranaba asked Parikshit, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be ruling, but there's nobody to rule. Where's the pleasure in ruling an empty kingdom? So on Parikshit's suggestion, they went to Shandilya Muni to ask, to explain what is going on and give them the solution. He told, Shandilya explained philosophically why this had all happened, why when the Lord leaves, everything is decimated. And that this is just natural. And Shandilya advised Vajranaba to repopulate Vrajadam, to establish villages, and to bring persons from elsewhere to become the Vrajavasis. The current Vrajavasis are not the original ones. They only go back 5,000 years, most of them. A few Mathura Brahmanas remained in Mathura somehow. Or maybe they wandered back after Krishna's disappearance. There were a few Brahmanas in Mathura. Beside that, the population had to be brought from outside. And Parikshit Maharaj helped bring these people from his own kingdom. And the queens were in distress in Krishna's separation. But Kalindi because of her association with Krishna, because she's actually the river Yamuna, eternally residing with Krishna in Vrindavan, she was not as disturbed as the other queens. And they inquired from her, her secret. Why is she not as unhappy as they are in Krishna's absence? And she explained, and between the explanation they got from her and from Shamdili Muni, they got the idea that they should hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Uddhava. That Uddhava is the person who can relieve their distress. And he said, I know Shamdili Muni, I know where Uddhava is. You think he went to Bhadrak Ashram, but he went there in his external body. He went there, did his mission, preached to the sages, and went back to Vaikuntha, to Dwarka in Vaikuntha. But that is his Prakrita Rupa. In his Aprakrita, in his eternal invisible form, Uddhava is still here in Mathura Mandala. He asked to take birth among the creepers and bushes of Raja so that he could get the dust of the gopis on his head. So he's residing right outside of Radhakunda at Kusuma Sarovara. This is the eternal residence of Uddhava, but he's usually hiding in the bushes. But if you go there and perform a great festival of Sankirtana, he'll appear and he'll speak Srimad Bhagavatam to you. And that happened. Uddhava appeared in the company of Parikshit. Actually, no, Parikshit was told. He said, you know, Vajranama, just before they started the festival, Vajranama said, I need your help, Parikshit. Oh, yeah, I'll help you. I'd be glad to help with this festival. I want to be there and see Uddhava and hear the Bhagavatam also. And Vajranama apologized. I'm sorry, you have to go off and defeat Kali. You know, this is important responsibility. You have to defend us by keeping Kali from invading. I'm sorry, you won't be able to be here. But you'll get your chance to hear Srimad Bhagavatam a little later from Shukadeva Goswami. And when the Bhagavatam is heard on that occasion, it will become available for the whole world. Uddhava spoke to the queens of Krishna and to Vajranaba Bhagavatam for 1 month continuously at Kusuma Sarovara. But that was a private audience. What was recorded and later repeated by Sutta to the sages at Naimisharanya, and what we have recorded in our book, is Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Bhagavatam to Parikshit. So that, although it was spoken for a whole month by Uddhava, when for 7 days Shukadeva spoke to Bhagavatam, that is the version. Not the words, the actual words are different. But spoken by Shukadeva, it became available to the whole world. So it's very important. Shukadeva is not only speaking for Parikshit. We all have Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's addressed to all of us. Therefore, it addresses our situation. We have material desires. We're conditioned souls. Most of us want to still enjoy this world. The few of us who are disgusted want liberation. And it's very rare that any of us actually have become so free from desires that we only want Krishna's lotus feet. That is rare, even among the association of devotees. So therefore, we need to be helped along the path. We need to be purified, raised up. Akama savakamova. It doesn't matter. You may be free from desires. You may be a pure devotee. Then you're lucky. Or you may be full of material desires. That's okay. Or you may have the specific desire of liberation. One out of thousands even wants to be a jnani, even wants liberation. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadati siddhaye. Out of many thousands of human beings, only one is going to want to achieve perfection in life. We're mostly satisfied for a little sense gratification, a little money in our pocket, and a good reputation. And that's it. We don't want perfection. One out of a thousand, or one out of thousands, is even interested in perfection. Yatatam api siddhanam, and of those few, only one may actually be interested in Krishna. But even those who have all material desires, or have the desire for liberation, they should also yajita purusham param, they should also worship Krishna. Udaradi, if they have enough brains in their head, if they're smart enough, they will engage in Krishna's devotional service, even with their material desires, because that's the best way to get their material desires fulfilled. This is what an intelligent person should understand. That because of our entanglement in this material world, we're in a fearful condition. We're afraid, we're embarrassed. That is the general quality of material existence. We may walk around with a smile on our face. You know, we have our conditioning, we have our persona, the image we want to show to the world. And so there may be a smile plastered on our face, but inside we're all experiencing fear, anxiety, because of separation from Krishna, because of being under the control of the material energy. This is a cause of fear for everybody. If you become absorbed in anything that isn't obviously connected with Krishna, everything is connected with Krishna, but we think that we're living a life separate from Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna Balara. Vidhir Atam Yat Pratiyeta. What seems to not have substantial existence, what seems to be separate from Krishna, Na Pratiyeta Chapmani. You think that this world is not connected to me. That's your illusion. Everything is connected to me. I have my finger in everything. But we don't see that. We intentionally ignore it. We ignore Krishna and want not to see him. That's illusion. Because of that, we experience fear. Because of letting ourselves be involved in some other conception of life than the Krishna conscious conception. A person turns his face away from Krishna, forgets who he is, and suffers. We are servants of Krishna. If we take Krishna out of the picture, what are we? Servants? Just plain servants? We don't want to be servants. If we forget or deny our relationship with Krishna, our service relationship, there's no reason to be a servant at all. It's no fun to be a servant if you're not going to be Krishna's servant. So we give up the whole idea of being a servant and we want to be something else. We want to be master. Tanmayaya. And Krishna's maya gives us every reason to think, yes, you're the master. Jai Shri Gurditai. You can control this world. You can enjoy it. This illusion is imposed on us. This is this false hope. So that's foolishness. But one who is udaradi should see through the illusion, or at least suspect that there's something funny going on. You may not be able to understand exactly what the illusion is and how it's working, but you should have a sense that the things are not the way they're supposed to be. My life is not right. And there's some sort of illusion going on here. Buddha, that's intelligence. Abhajetam, just knowing that things aren't the way they're supposed to be, is intelligence. That's the beginning of spiritual life. Then one can worship the Supreme. Whether you have love or not, you may be full of material desires. You may be motivated that you want liberation. But if you're intelligent and you realize that you're in illusion and you want to get out of that illusion, you should understand, theoretically at least, that the only way out is to worship the Supreme. Bhakti Aika Yesham, Guru Deva Tatma, and it's strongly recommended, do it right. Do it with all enthusiasm and sincerity. Bhakti Aikaya, mixed devotional service will only get you a mixed result. If you want the full result, and you want it quickly, you should perform unalloyed, unmixed devotional service. Srila Prabhupada would pick these words, these very vivid poetic words from the English language, and he would use them over and over again because he liked them. One of them is unalloyed. Alloy is a metal that is a combination of metals. Like, I have what's called a gold ring, but it's only 10 carats or something. It's ridiculously, you know, low percentage of gold. You know, in India, this is just considered brass. 10 carat gold, nothing. Not worth anything. That's alloyed, mixed up with cheap metal. Pure gold, that is valuable. 24 carat gold. That you'll get the full price for. Unalloyed. So Prabhupada picked up this word and applied it poetically. Unalloyed devotional service. Not mixed with something cheap and inferior. Not mixed with the motivations of karma and jnana. That kind of devotional service doesn't have much potency. It won't even get you liberation. It won't even get you love of God. Mixed devotional service. It will help you make progress, but that devotional service eventually has to become pure if you want the perfection of life. So Bhakti Aikaya, it is recommended we should worship with exclusive, unalloyed devotional service, unmixed. And we should worship not just anybody, we should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to understand who's the right person to worship. And where do we get this knowledge from? Guru, from the spiritual master. We have to take guidance from the advanced Vaishnav or Vaishnavs. Guru Deva Tatma, the word Guru there, is in a compound word, Guru Devata Atma. So the first word in the compound, Guru, is not marked for number. It could be one Guru, it could be 10,000 Gurus. You should make the Guru your life and soul. But you can have more than one Guru. You can have one Diksha Guru, but you can have many Shiksha Gurus. From them you should take guidance. Get the information. Who the Supreme Lord is. How to reestablish your relationship with Him. This knowledge we should get from our Gurus. And we should make the Guru, in order to properly receive this knowledge, we have to follow the proper protocol of spiritual education. It's not like the mundane university. You pass an entrance exam, get a high score in your exam, and, you know, get some interview and write some application, and get admitted to the school, and then pay your tuition, pay some money. Then you do, you know, jump through the hoops and go to the classes and take the exams, and you get your degree. It's a material process. You buy your education by paying tuition. You buy the teachers. They're your servants. You paid for them. In the big cities in India, rich children go to these private schools where they pay a lot of money. The children are much richer than the teachers. The children have, you know, get dropped off by their chauffeurs in the car. The teacher has to come on a scooter because he can't afford a car. So the students treat the teachers with contempt. You know, you're a paid servant, just like the lady in Safai Wali who comes to clean the house. You don't pay any more respect to your teacher than that. In the big cities, modernized children, they feel like that. They feel no respect for their teachers. This is not a proper system of education. With that attitude, you cannot receive. You can receive your degree and get a good job and cheat the world and cheat yourself, but you cannot get a proper education that way. Real education, especially spiritual education, there must be a proper relationship between teacher and student. There must be a relationship of respect. Guru Devata Atma. You should see your guru as your life and soul, your worshipable deity, and your very self. What does it mean, very self? We're not Mayavadis. That everybody's one. But Guru Mukho Padma Bhakya Chitete Koriya Aika. The instructions coming from the lotus mouth of my guru, I should put them in my heart. My intelligence is corrupt and dysfunctional. I can't trust my own intelligence, but I will substitute for it the intelligence of my guru. His idea should be, if my idea doesn't agree with his idea, I should kick out my idea and put his idea in my heart. Ar nakoriya monayash. I should not allow any other intention to remain in my heart. That is a proper educational attitude. That is the proper attitude of a student. Then you can get your spiritual education. You will be enlightened if you have that attitude. That's Guru Devatatma. So, anyway, here, I get confused. In the morning, we're reading, in my house, we're reading about Kashyapa, and here we're reading about Kardama. This is Kardama Muni. We're reading different chapters. I'm jumping back and forth. Today, we're reading about Kardama Muni, right? Who has gotten the audience of the personality of God in himself, Lord Narayan. So Lord Narayan is his guru here, giving him instructions. And Kardama is receiving those instructions with a proper attitude for a student, with all respect and all gratitude. He's humble. He's not trying to show how great he is in front of his guru. He's taking the submissive, inferior position so he can absorb the knowledge. That's why the teacher should sit on a higher chair than the student when someone is speaking. The speaker should be on the higher seat when there's some important information being given. The knowledge flows down, like the water flows down the hill. So one should be lower. One should have, not just physically lower, but one should think oneself that this person knows more than me. I need to receive the knowledge. Then the proper attitude is there. So therefore here, in the last prayer, the last verse of his prayers, he says, I continually offer my respectful obeisances unto you. He gives him, expresses his thanks and reconfirms his subordinate, dedicated attitude. And because of that, the Supreme Lord is able to benedict him with the blessing that he's going to appear himself. The Lord will appear as Kardama's son, Lord Kapila. How does it? Oh, it's a very nice verse at the beginning of the 25th chapter, but I can't remember it. Lord Kapila appeared in order to give this transcendental knowledge. Can't remember the words. Anyway, we'll get to it. Chapter 25. Well, chapter 25 is here. 25. Well, let me just read the verse. Kapilas tatvasamkhyata bhagavan atmamayaya jatak swayam jak sakshad atma pragyaptaye dvinam. 25:1. 25th chapter, first verse. Sri Shonaka said, although he is unborn, the Supreme Personality of Godhead took birth as Kapila Muni by his internal potency. He descended to disseminate transcendental knowledge for the benefit of the whole human race. And Kardama Muni has got the privilege to take the role of the father of that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
It's explained that as far as if we want material desires in our devotional service, sometimes the Lord will grant it to us and sometimes he won't. Can you explain more about that?
Yes, the way the Lord deals with materialistic persons, and he usually doesn't deal with them directly, he deals through his agents, Maya and her agents and demigods, is to give them what they want. His agent, Lord Shiva, is Ashutosha. He very quickly awards the desires of his devotees, his materialistic devotees, just to get them off his back. He gives them what they want. But that's how the Lord arranges for materialists to be dealt with. When someone is more sincere, when he's actually serious about achieving the perfection of Krishna consciousness, then Krishna deals differently. With materialistic devotees, he lets them have what they have, what they want, encouraging them to just continue their devotional service and make progress. But for those who have made progress, those who are actually serious, Krishna imposes difficulties. He doesn't give what they want. He forces them to correct, to adjust their attitude, to change their mind about what they want. Yasyaham anugranabi hadishyeta dhanam shahai. If I actually favor somebody, I gradually steal away everything he has. Hari, Lord Hari, is famous. Krishna is always called Hari. In all his avatars, that name Hari belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nobody else. Well, the word is used as a common noun to mean a few other things, but as a name, it's the name, or it's also sometimes the name of Indra. All right, but it's basically the name of Lord Vishnu and his different forms. And the word means the one who takes away, thief, chore. He takes away everything from a sincere devotee. He removes all his material assets. And then the verse goes on to say that his family and friends reject him then. He becomes an outcast. Not an outcast, but he becomes rejected by his associates. A helpless, miserable person. And then he can, without any distraction or obstacle, dedicate himself fully to Krishna's service when everyone else has given up on him. It doesn't have to be like that. But that's one way that Krishna shows his mercy to a devotee who has, as Prabhupada discussed at the end of the purport, a devotee who is very sincere but still has material desires. So for that devotee who is very sincere, Krishna is not going to give him the desire. He'll smash the desire and make the devotee change his attitude for his own benefit. So if we are given a hard time by Krishna, that's Krishna's special favor, that he considers us capable of handling that difficulty. Krishna never gives anybody a test that the person can't pass. So if we're giving a severe test, we should be thankful to Krishna that Krishna trusts us so much to give us such a difficult test, that he really thinks we can handle it. Okay. Thank you. Okay, anything else? All right, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.